Hey, hey, hey.
Hello,
hello. Welcome back to Making Love Better.
Yes, and I am Marvin.
And I am Dr. Lila. And I tell you, I just love hearing those three words together. We're hoping that you have gotten accustomed to hearing those as well. Just the whole idea, honey, of improving how we love is one aspect of it. But if you flip it over, making love better, it's all of that too.
So you look at it from both ways, right?
Yes, from both angles.
Yes.
So we're excited to be here again on today. Looking forward to sharing with you on one of the most crucial subject matter. Concerning marriage, concerning relationship, period.
It's not sex, though.
No, not sex. We're going to come back to that.
We're getting close, though.
Yes, we are. You know, we're trying to take you on a slow incline as we move into 2021.
Yes.
But it's a very crucial subject that we get to talk about,
which is communication.
Yeah. So on today, we're going to be sharing about the four horsemen of the apocalypse.
Yeah, because if you look at the statistics, you realize that a lot of marriages end up in divorces because of lack of communication or lack of the ability to resolve issues.
Yes. So we're going to go into the subject matter and just really give some bullet points here. But we're so excited about sharing from one of my favorite researchers, honey, Dr. John Gottman.
Dr. Gottman, yes.
So hang tight and we will be right back at you.
Come back.
Is life being sucked out of your marriage due to poor communication, infidelity, lack of intimacy, sexual issues such as erectile dysfunction, low desire, or pornography addiction? Do you desire a better marriage? If so, contact Dr. Lila at Make a Better Marriage. We specialize in breathing life into relationships on life support. We help couples have better communication, better intimacy, and better sex.
Listen, as my husband stated before we took a pause, one of the main reasons that most couples cite as being a cause for divorce or major marriage dissatisfaction is the struggle to communicate, the struggle to understand one another.
It's not finances.
Although finances comes in a
close. Ranked up there, right?
Yeah, it comes in a close second. And then, of course, we know sex follows thereafter. But listen, it pains our hearts to realize that the number one reason that's stated as marriages crumbling and falling apart is that of communication, all which we know is preventable.
It is. All of which
we realize is from a source, an area in which we all can make a decision to grow and to learn the skills so that we could learn to connect better and therefore have a better marriage, a better relationship.
And I think one of the keys is having a plan in place in case of hard time.
In case when the moments come, when the conflict shows up, because it's going to happen.
It's coming.
It's coming, right? We know it to be true. We have experienced it. We are aware of it by just having the opportunity to engage with so many couples. And we are aware of it, too, as we have the opportunity to just really listen in on conversations of individuals who've been married many more years than we have ourselves. That conflict, differences are going to take place.
Yes. Today, we are going to be talking about the four horsemen of apocalypse.
Yeah.
And you know that word apocalypse means the final destruction of anything. whether it be the world or whether it be a marriage.
You know, when I think about apocalypse, I just think about great calamity, like structures collapsing.
Yes, yes. Everything just falling apart.
Yeah, falling apart, things caving in. And I so appreciate the way Dr. John Gottman labels and describes these four negative patterns of engagement that couples sometimes have. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciate his research because he's able to really observe a couple about 4 or 5 minutes. And by pure observation, the way that they interact, the way that they discuss a subject matter, one that may have been plaguing the relationship or the marriage, actually highlights whether or not they will end in divorce.
First 5 minutes. Wow.
Just by pure observing. And, you know, and what he's looking for is these one or several or all of these four ways of engagement.
Mm-hmm. And the first one is criticism.
Yeah.
That finger point.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So, you know, today, again, we're focusing on ways not to engage.
Not to engage, right?
So we realize that criticism is one of those ways where we are challenged not to go out on an all-out attack when we are trying to resolve conflict or when we are just basically sharing. Right.
Yes.
Because if someone feels that they're being attacked, what's the immediate response?
They're going to put up a defense, but they're all going to say, you.
You're right. So saying you is one of the ways that the attack takes place.
Right.
But if I feel like you are attacking me, I am going to either
shut down
or, as you're suggesting,
build
up defense as well.
Mm-hmm.
So criticizing also suggests that, you know, is when a person is attacking their partner's character, their personality. And of course, when you feel that someone is attacking the core of who you are, you want to strike back, right?
Oh, yeah.
It certainly activates the amygdala. And with our amygdala, it's meaning it's activating the flight or the fight or the freeze centers.
You never.
Oh, man. Those are fighting words in itself.
Like pouring gasoline on a fire.
Yes, absolutely.
And another behavior you have to look out for is contempt.
When there is a high percentage of contempt in the relationship, it is one of the strongest indicator of marriage dissatisfaction and also an indicator that the marriage or the relationship itself is going to dissolve. And that's because when you think about contempt, the offender is usually attacking the person's sense of self. They are insulting them. It's really psychological abuse.
Yeah.
So you're dealing with someone who engaged by calling names. They engage with sarcasm. And you know with sarcasm, underneath it is really hurt. And also there's sometimes a body language such as rolling of the eyes, tone of voice, just anything that would make the other person feel small.
Yeah, I mean, just the body language itself will intimidate you sometimes.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So again, when we see someone who's abusive, contempt is usually a weapon that the individual will use in order to gain control and keep their partner under their thumbs, if you will.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and then you also have defensiveness.
Yeah, I mean, once you have criticism and contempt, you automatically going to get on the defense, right?
Mm-hmm, sure, sure. And it doesn't mean necessarily that these things are linear, but when you're engaging with somebody and they're constantly defensive, anytime you try to bring up a subject matter, they hijack, the conversation because they're so defensive. They keep putting up walls. They keep putting up a shield, if you will, some sort of armor to protect themselves. It makes it very difficult to connect. it is for sure a way that's going to disrupt intimacy, impede it. There's no way, you know, you're going to feel safe, because each time you bring up a concern or a criticism,
they're going to push back. Push back every time. Yeah. You're going to have something to counteract what you say.
Exactly. And sometimes that may be met with, you know, things such as, well, it wasn't my fault, or I didn't do this, or you did this, and I did it because of A, B, C, and D, and it's not fair. Mm. And sometimes people, you know, they go into whining, you know?
Yeah. Or you to try to out-talk you.
Oh, my.
Yes.
Oh, my.
Defensiveness, also, they also try to out-talk
Absolutely.
You. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, you know, that's something, too, that Dr. Gottman, thank you, referenced as, you know, cross complaining.
Mm-hmm.
And then also there's the big old B-U-T.
Ooh,
the yes, but.
Johnson.
Yeah, yes, mm-hmm. but, yes. And, you know, one way that I see defensive too, it shows up in a lot of, I won't say a lot, it does show up in some situations when people, when there are work to be done to repair from infidelity, that sometimes the offender spouse has a hard time sitting with their partner's pain, and defensiveness will come out. And what really needs to happen is for that person to put down their armor, put down their weapon, and just be able to be open and allow their partner to be able to emote, to be able to process their emotion. Now, is this an easy thing? Absolutely not.
Yes, and also that person just constantly repeat their side to that person without even paying attention to what the other person is saying. They just want to get their side across.
Yeah, yeah. So really, you know, again, makes it very difficult for a true connection to take place. And then last but not least, the other horsemen of the apocalypse. Give this man a drum roll. I'm saying men, but I'm picking on men, right? But it's not something just men do.
It's not. Stonewalling.
Yes, and I say men because I recognize in most cases it's men, but women do it as well. But, you know, you see in a lot of in situations where men do retreat inwardly, right? Yeah. And sometimes they retreat. It is a physical locale, such as their man cave. But sometimes the retreat looks more like a refusal to engage, a refusal to talk altogether.
Wait, man. I'm about to stand up for y'all. We can say the same thing with five words than our wives or our spouse can say in 25 words.
That's true.
Yep, that's true. Same thing, yeah.
But yet, too, there's a time that, you know, when you're withdrawing from the relationship as a way to avoid conflict, that it actually could cause harm to the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and sometimes I've seen this being played out, too. It looks a little, it looks manipulative in a sense that when something doesn't happen the way you may want it to happen, there's a tendency to go into this type of silence.
Mm.
You give the silence treatment, if you will, or you change the subject, or you just remove yourself from the environment altogether.
Well, in a way, if the conversation is that heated, sometimes maybe you just need to step back and withdraw yourself sometimes.
And for sure. And there is a place for that, right? For a pointed period of time.
There you go.
Okay? Not for an extensive period of time.
Not just to be pouting, just be pouting.
I like that word, pouting, right?
Yeah.
Stonewalling actually sends a message that I cannot trust you to be there when I need you.
Mm-hmm. So we can't, so us men can't just turn into a block of ice and
freeze
up and like.
No, that's pretty icy, right?
No.
No, but you know, and even in the most difficult situations, there's a way to communicate that, you know what, let's take a break. You know what, let's put a pause on this because we don't want to be destructive.
Right.
We want to be mature and we don't want to cause harm to our marriage.
Yes.
Right? We don't want to cause harm to the relationship. Mm-hmm. But if we do that without communicating, we just pull back all together and spend hours and days into seclusion, it contributes to the apocalypse, right?
Yes.
So listen, so the takeaways from today is...
Yep, get that takeout plate.
If you are engaging in one or any of these types of patterns, these types of behaviors, we want to encourage you to cease it.
Please, please, please do.
So you're engaging by way of criticism, contempt, being defensive, being stonewalling. We want you to make a commitment to stop.
Because if not, you're headed for destruction.
Yes, yes.
You are headed for destruction.
Yes, so you may ask yourself, well, what can I do differently? So we're just going to give you a couple pointers for today, and then we'll pick the conversation back up on the next time.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, to stop, drop, and roll.
Mm.
Right? So if you find yourself wanting to criticize your spouse, you find yourself wanting to attack them or be defensive or stonewall, stop, drop, and roll involves, first thing first, take a deep breath.
Ooh. Breathe in, breathe out.
Breathe in, breathe out. Mm-hmm. It can help your brain to reset. It can help to disrupt the negative emotions.
Yes.
It can help to gain control over your the amygdala, which has activated your gain control over your negative response.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Because in these cases, our amygdala is activated.
Yes.
So again, if we just stop, take a deep breath, mm-hmm. and pause.
Right.
Drop the subject matter, put a pause on and say, we need to come back to this again later. And then we're going to roll over into thinking from a healthy place as to how you would like to show up to be better, to so that you can respond better, okay? So thinking, again, giving yourself time to rethink how you can better show up to engage better.
Mm-hmm. Because in the stop, drop, and roll process, when you roll, you smothering that fire so it won't get the air that it needs to keep igniting.
Exactly.
And it's the same way in the matter. You're trying to smother that situation. You're trying to smother that topic.
Exactly. Doesn't mean that we're ignoring it, but at that time, we're not trying to put any more gasoline on it, right?
No.
So we're going to step back from it, allow the flames to go down.
To smother out.
Yes, and then we will go back into the subject matter with a healthier posture, a healthier way of responding.
Definitely.
And again, we will leave some additional tips right there in our show notes for you. So until next time.
I'm Marvin.
And I'm Dr. Lila.
All right. Bye-bye for now.
If this podcast has been a blessing to you, go ahead, subscribe, rate, and review. And join forces with us to preserve marriages by sharing this podcast with family and friends. And remember to visit us on our website at makeabettermarriage.com.